No matter why you thought you come, that you come to church, I hope you come with expectancy, and I hope you come with the issue that says, man, God wants to speak to your heart. Whatever the burden may be, whatever the blessing may be, that there's somebody around you that this time of year especially. And this morning, our stars, our kids, they come, and you know, you see Christmas through the eyes of your kids, and especially as you start to have grandkids and other, you see Christmas through them. It's really been cool. I mean, even my own granddaughter has been reading just about every time I'm there, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7 to me out of her Bible, is just reading the story. And so this morning we get to look through it through the eyes of some of our kids and some of, in this idea of them looking at Christmas and what does that mean, and really that narrative that we hear over and over. So I want you to give them a hand as they come in, just clap for our kids and the stars they go to do.
Good.
Hey, what time is it?
It's 3:30. Why?
I need to go home soon. My family is going to some Christmas program at some church. My mom gets so sappy every year with family time. It's so annoying.
Yeah, my parents too. I just don't get it. I mean, I love the presents, but people get crazy with these parties and events. My family comes over now to share my room with my cousins. It's awful. What's the big deal about Christmas anyway?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, there's got to be more than shopping and annoying TV commercials.
Oh, there is. It all started a long time ago.
What, like in the 80s?
Or like a couple thousand years ago.
Whoa. There was a man named Joseph whose wife was majorly big with a child. And they're traveling to Bethlehem.
So the wife's name was Mary and she rode on a donkey while Joseph rocked.
Wait a minute. Was she preggers riding on a donkey? Why?
Well, the king wanted to know how many people were in his land. And everyone had to travel to their family town. Joseph was from Bethlehem, so they had to travel there.
Just any young married couple.
Really? Were they famous? Like Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez when they were together?
No. You see, Mary and Joseph were engaged, and an angel came to Mary. The angel told Mary that she was righteous and that she would give birth to the Son of God, and they shall call him Jesus.
No way.
Way. Get this. Joseph wanted to quietly get rid of her.
He wanted to kill her?
No, break off the engagement. But an angel came and told him to chill. So he chilled, they got married, and they were on their way to Bethlehem.
This is a little unbelievable. I mean, come on.
Angels
and God's baby. I'm not really seeing Christmas in all this.
Just wait, it gets better. When they get to Bethlehem, of course, everyone's there because of the census. And Joseph goes from place to place trying to find somewhere to stay.
Should have booked in on Travelocity.
Really?
You've got angels. Why not a gnome?
Because this is what really happened. Joseph was trying to find a room. Mary goes into labor.
No.
Yep. And finally, an innkeeper takes pity and leads him to his barn, which is a cave on the side of a hill.
With the animals?
Sure enough. The baby is born. They name him Jesus. Mary wraps him in cloth. But there's no crib, so she puts him in a feed box full of hay.
Oh, hey.
The sheep are grazing, the shepherds are shepherding, and suddenly an angel appears.
Another one?
Another one, who said?
I bring you good news, the Savior is born today.
Town to check out the baby.
Wow. Mary must have freaked. I mean, first a baby in a barn, then shepherds coming to visit.
This is what Christmas fuss is about? A baby born in a barn?
Wait a minute. What about the presents?
Oh, they're coming. They're just going to take a while. You see, even longer ago than this, it was predicted that a Savior should be born in Bethlehem. When Jesus was born, a star appeared in the sky. There were some wise men from far away.
Thank you.
So the wise men followed the star and brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the baby.
I know what gold is, but talk about a score for a baby present. But what is myrrh and frankincense?
Frankincense and myrrh are both smelly things in a good way. Like when mom bakes cookies, they're both very valuable and come from the far east, far, far away from where Jesus was born.
Okay. I get the present deal now, but what's the big deal about the baby?
First of all, he's the Son of God. He's going to do the most amazing thing for all of us. But that's another story.
To be continued this Easter.
All right, give him another round of applause, please. Come on.
Frank made the angel.
Here we go, baby. So, yes, my child said preggers.
What is this with your kid every time the lights come on?
Embrace the lights. He doesn't have eyebrows like me. He doesn't. They don't shield.
We're not going to go there? I don't think it's best we go there.
No, let's just leave it alone.
I think that's the best idea. Hey, we're glad you're with us. And the kids, we see it through the kids. We focus, obviously, on this time of year on the baby Jesus. That's what it's really all about. Mm-hmm. And as we look at that, but as you think about it, think of all the people that really, in the story, that the narrative that they told. We have the idea, and we get that sense that we read it in the children's Bible or we read it in our Bible, and we just see this story, this Christmas story. But in some sense, it takes it really benign. It takes all of the sense out of it. It takes all the emotion and the feeling out of it. The IT people are telling me I'm orange. Can I lie and say that I'm green?
I'm green now. Can I blame it on them?
Sure.
Okay. Always blame it on them. It was you. Anyway. But all the people in there, I mean, they're the innkeeper. There was Herod, the wise men, the unwise men, all the different people. I mean, you went down and, you know.
Yeah, so we went to Journey to Bethlehem on Thursday. We took a couple students down there, and other than the fact it was 25 degrees, but you're walking around, and they take you on this journey, and you're going from Nazareth to Bethlehem to pay your taxes, to be counted in the census and stuff. And as you're walking through, like you meet a map maker, with a P, map maker. And then a bunch of other people along the way, and they kind of, you know, talk a little bit about the story, and you kind of get more and more until you end up, obviously, in the manger with Jesus at the end. But when you think about the people you met along the way, or the people that Mary and Joseph met along the way as they were going there, were part of the story, even if they're not in here.
Yeah, and a story to tell. And real people whose lives had real things. We think that innkeeper, which really isn't really mentioned that much, only that the only part of his life at that moment was a pregnant couple coming by. No, there was so much going on because everybody was flooding that town for a census. And we think about the people. What about the people who usually fed those donkeys and those cows and things we sing about? And the people who were along the way, the travelers. There was real people, real stories. Every life involved in that narrative had a story. Every life here has a story. These little kids, they have a story. Their story's being written as they grow up. Every band member, you who are sitting here, your life has a story up to this point. That story may be good. That story may be bad. That story may be, you know, great, or that story may be, man, look at my life. Whatever it is, but we all have a story. Your life had a story. My life had a story. Different,
yeah,
but a story.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, my story in regards to coming to know Jesus was grown up and was told I could do everything myself. And up until that point, when I was brought to my knees, I could do everything myself. So I saw no reason for me to think otherwise. And it was taking a point of complete and utter, helplessness that brought me to God. It's the little boy you see up here with his lines and his little cast was on a gurney, being resuscitated with one of those plastic bags, trying to breathe him back to life. And I wasn't a believer at that point. And there came a time at that moment when all the wisdom and the knowledge and my own strength meant nothing. It meant nothing. And there was only one person to turn to, and that's when I gave my life to Christ.
So and the change has been, in the last 6 years, remarkable. I mean, just
Yeah, like I said, when you think about, you know how you can think back to memories, like let's say you went to Hawaii and you can think back to being in Hawaii and but you can't remember, you can think of the memories, but you can't remember actually being there. And that's kind of where I am with it. It's been 6 years removed now and I can remember the person who I was and I learned from that, but I cannot physically go back and remember myself doing those things or being in that time.
Yeah, and my story, every life has a story. Your life has a story. My life story was totally different from him. You being grown up really and reared, not anti-God, but ignorant of God. Mine, man, I was Bible Billy. That was my nickname. Today, people still call me Bible Billy. I was raised in the church. King James Version, I think, was imprinted on a chip in my head. I mean, it was crazy. Force-fed down. Church, church, church. Every time the door was open, we were there. Running bulletins, all this stuff. But really had no meaning outside of an activity, outside of just going, outside of doing what I'm supposed to do. And it wasn't until high school, after I'd been in high school, I realized and got confronted with the issue that I can know a lot about God and I can know a lot about Jesus and I can know all the platitudes and all the things to say, but I never had come to a point in my life where I realized that I personally was in need of a Savior, that I personally needed to have my sins forgiven and that could only come through the Lord Jesus. I knew all the church, I knew all the hymns, I knew all the stories, knew it all, but it meant nothing. It all came into focus once I gave my life to Christ, once it all came into that issue. And the change that takes place within that, my change in the life itself was a lot less than yours, but just as great as the inward change that makes us a new person, a new believer, and a new creation. And yet, as you think about the real people, man, think about the fears that they faced on those, in the story that we read here, but think about the fears that they were facing. I mean, think about Joseph, poor Joseph. I mean, here he's got his 9-month pregnant wife on a donkey.
Right. And I the first service I said she was on the donkey for 9 months.
Yeah. No.
That didn't happen. But no, it's great. She's 9 months pregnant. And
Joseph may have been called a donkey or something
on a donkey
for 9 months.
Right.
I don't know.
And on a donkey. And they told us that the traveling time was about 7 days. So you imagine your wife on a donkey 9 months pregnant for 7 days.
Where's the rest stop? Yeah.
Exactly. I was thinking like the Son of God is supposed to be in there, but some of the stuff coming out of the mouth.
Yeah, yeah, really. And that angel appeared to you, but you're not an angel right now, you know?
No.
I mean, but, you know, don't go the hormonal route. We did that in the first service. Got in trouble. You know that. Yeah, toss away.
I'm just being quiet on
But
that.
Joseph obviously had fears. Like, you, man alive, you know, what is going on here? And all the fears of people talking about him. And here's an engaged at that time, different situation, but engaged.
Yeah.
You know, to be married, pregnant. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's carrying the Son of God.
Right.
Who's the dad? Well, I'm going to engage, you know, all of the fears that take place and all the family members saying, why are you taking her on a donkey for 9, you know,
all the ridicule he must have had over the 9 months.
Yeah. And then just
up until that point.
I wonder if he, okay, how in the heck do you raise the Son of God? I mean, your kid broke his arm. What am I supposed to do if Jesus, you know, or does he correct us?
I'm saying. Like, if Jesus asks you for a cookie, you give him the cookie.
So that's great parenting.
I'm not going to say no to Jesus. You say no to Jesus.
I know. You wonder the fears that he might have. And
right.
Mary. And look at Mary. The fears that Mary may have felt. I mean, because she was a real young lady who is carrying from the angel the Son of God.
Right.
And the fears that she must have had and the insecurities of all of that.
Yeah, so this is right where my mind goes when I start thinking about that. Mary, and if you read the story, the angel never tells her that, number one, that she's going to live, or number two, that she's going to be responsible for raising the child.
Right.
At all. Just that you're going to have a child in you and it's going to be the Son of God. So my thought is immediately, how am I going to birth it? Is it going to explode out of me like, and I'm gone and it's there? Or is it going to just be birthed and taken away from me and I'm not going to have a chance to even be a mother? Wow, I mean, some of the insecurities and just stuff that was flying around in her head was probably insane up until that moment.
Because we have the perspective today of looking back and saying, well, this is what Mary knew.
Right.
You know, Mary, you look at how it all worked out. But at that instance, like you say, can you really, I wonder if Mary, what did she know? What did she really know? The angel said, hey, we found favor with you.
Right.
And you're going to bear the Son of God.
Well,
that's really what she knew.
You think that when she's thinking about this, and even when she has baby Jesus and she's sitting there, she's seeing the tip of an iceberg of what's going to be an amazing 33-year journey with Jesus.
And the fear must have been amazing. Wow. The trust, how she responded.
Wow.
She just trusted God. What did Mary know? Let's sing it.
Let's do it. All right.
your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God.
That she was going to give birth to a king, the Savior. You and I today, we have a promise. The promise to Mary was that she was going to give birth. The promise to you today is that you can have new birth, that you can have a reborn as a child of God. Mary had the child of God placed within her. And the God of the universe today longs to take residence within you, to place his spirit within you, to call him your father, to make him your child, and to be adopted by him. Our sins forgiven, past, present, tomorrow. That we can know a purpose for our life, and that is to know him, to glorify him, to feel the weight and the burden of sin be gone. Mary had a promise. So do we. That promise is we give him our life, he makes us a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. You may have been like Paul, who grew up really away from God. You may have been like me, who grew up knowing about God, all the stories, all the words. But both of us, the life story, your life story, needs to intersect at a time when you realize, I need a Savior. And that's the promise today. Is you can have that Savior. Father, this morning as we come, We hear the story, we tell the story. It's Christmas, but may it have real meaning because it's real people. May our story of our life be the same. We see you as our Savior. We see you as a Redeemer who's set us free. We have liberty and grace is given. Father, may this Christmas be a Christmas where we understand the greatest gift, that amazing gift ever given. If there's someone here who doesn't know you, I pray in their heart right now they would open their hearts to you. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.